if we were gone. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about us individually. Go to the next slide. I'm talking about us as a congregation. Now, this is not our parking lot. This is a picture that I found, but just for a second, just think about if this building were gone, bulldozed down, would Glasgow, Barron County, would they tell we were gone other than this large, I have no idea about the square footage, but if this building structure was gone, three floors, basement, middle floor, and upstairs, would Glasgow, Barron County really miss the South Green Street Church of Christ? That's the question that I ask you, that I ask of myself, and kind of where I want to begin. For us to hope that we can answer that, because ultimately we hope that the answer is yes. They would miss our congregation. They would miss our family, not because of self-serving purposes or anything like that, but because of how we strive to get outside these walls, to work in our community, to evangelize. Some of those things we're going to address. But just imagine if the parking lot is empty, this building's not here today, would we be missed? I don't know. I hope so. You take your handout in front of you, like again with a few questions. Does our, those first five questions, I think. Does our love overflow for others to see? Does our love for each other, both in the building, both outside the building, both out in the community, do people see that? Do they see that? This is, we read that Paul is bowing his knees before God. To me, that's pretty powerful. If possible, bowing his knees before God. He's showing his love, his obedience. He's showing his trust in the Lord. Do we? Does our community see that? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul refers to himself as a prisoner for Christ. I can't think of a greater term, phrase, or anything than that, to be a prisoner for Christ. I want to be a slave for Christ. I want to be bound to Christ, not the world, not man, not anything else. Do others see our dedication to our faith, as Brother Billy had prayed? I hope so. I hope that outside these walls in our community, I hope that they see our dedication to faith. Sometimes people maybe view us as being a little more streamlined than they'd like for us to, but for me, I call that dedication and commitment. God is the Father of all families. Our focus, our commitment, and our service demonstrates who we serve. We should be serving our, helping, ministering to our community by our service and our commitment to God. Understanding God and His work will be seen by allowing Christ to dwell within us. Do our actions match our words? We may say that we're striving to be obedient, we're striving to be faithful, we're working, we're growing. This morning in Bible class, we talked about being effective. Those are all things we all want to do. Those are things that I want to do. But we can say that all we want. I've been blessed. For 22 years, I've worked with kids from athletics to the classroom. And I couldn't tell you how many times I've had kids, especially in middle school, come up to you and go, I'm going to the NFL. And I kind of thought, the first few years, I thought, well, that's nice. But the last few years, age kind of has a way of helping you respond to things. I've had kids, where he have number one on, number one jersey, wants to play quarterback. I'm going to the NFL. I said, you got to come to practice first. Sometimes they want to not come to practice. They want to be part-time players. Well, you got to have a commitment. Your actions match your words. Do our actions match our words as Christians? Our personal faith is grounded in what? If you were to ask anybody in Glasgow, Barron County about South Green Street, hopefully our commitment to God, our walk with Christ is rooted and grounded in love. Do the things that we pray for, our requests, our thoughts, our service, does that demonstrate we're seeking God's blessings? All these things demonstrate who we serve and how we answer. Does our church family and those in our community see this service and see this love? It's what we're trying to get to the root of. When we are expanding the borders of God's kingdom, we must work, evangelize, and help others. We understand that. With all those points, if we were ceased to exist, would we be missed? You turn to, if you want to begin to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Does our family, our congregation, us, do we work fervently, diligently in our community? 1 Corinthians 15, 58, you're familiar. that we all know that work is very important. We understand that. God expects results. God doesn't want reasons. God wants results from our growth, from our evangelism efforts. Results are something to work for, not something to wish for. From a local standpoint, we've kind of decided to take a short break and talk about just work in general. Everybody understands what it means to have a job, get a job, keep a job. In our community alone, this is not an economic lesson, but in our community alone, our unemployment rate is 4.7. State of Kentucky's unemployment rate is 5.3. We're below that. Everybody in our community who wants a job has a job. I don't know what the unemployment rate is in the church, but there's plenty of work for everybody. Will our community miss us if we weren't here? Those who want a job in the kingdom have a job in the kingdom. We know that working in the kingdom can be challenging. It can be uplifting. It can have obstacles that's laid out before us. But we must share what we know with others, and that comes through work. Once someone has obeyed the gospel, the day you were baptized, that's your first day in the job. Now, obviously we're in different chapters in our life. We're different ages in our life when you're baptized, things of that nature. But yeah, that's your first day on the job. You think about all the different jobs you've had, regardless of your age. What did you do that first day? You began to find out what was expected of you. And you wanted to do your best, hopefully. Go to James chapter 2, verse 18 there. Work proves our faith in the kingdom. Depending on where you work, what you do, if you work for yourself or you work for someone else, you have faith that you're going to get a paycheck. I'm going to go to work tomorrow, and I've got faith that the 22nd of this month, I'm going to have a deposit. Hopefully. We show our faith because of how we work to grow. Does our community see our faith growing? Or do they just kind of see us hitting the clock? You know, punching the clock and checking the box and that's it. We show our faith by how we serve others. How we reach out to those who are dealing with challenges, maybe in funeral homes, nursing homes, hospitals, assisted living, those people who maybe have less than we do. Are we reaching out? Are we helping them? Our faith is not a dead faith. Our faith is a living faith. Does our community see us doing two things? Does our community see us perspiring and inspiring? Hopefully they're seeing both of those. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Is our work in the kingdom urgent? Are we urgent? Are we excited? Are we trying to figure out what we need to do here at South Green Street to help those lost in our Glasgow-Barron County community? How many times in the workplace do we have to complete a project or meet a deadline? We all have those deadlines. I'm thankful for deadlines. If we didn't have deadlines, I'd never get anything done. I'm thankful for those. But we all understand what that pressure is. I talked about farmers this morning in class. Farmers have deadlines. Farmers work within the parameters of what? The seasons. I've been blessed to work for farmers, to help do lots of different things just as you have. And I see the dedication of watching that calendar, that commitment of knowing when something's got to be planted, when something's got to be taken care of, and when something has to be harvested, because if you miss that, you're going to be in trouble. How often in maybe our secular jobs do we have paperwork, meetings to make, things to turn in, things to submit? We all understand what it means to work and do something. Everything has an end date, but guess what? Our lives have an end date. Now, we don't know what that is. Hebrews 9:27 tells us that it's appointed once for man to die, then the judgment. Are we taking that urgency to others? Are we understanding the energy and the commitment that it's needed to share the gospel with others? Even if it inconveniences us a little bit, what about personal growth? This morning in class, we talked about how do we become effective? What's one way we become effective that teaches us? What's the word that teaches us? How many of us have been converted by personal study with the help of others, answering questions? Hopefully, we are taking that intensity that we're taking to work And we're bringing that to our own Christian growth, personal growth, and evangelism. Paul says, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, and I like to read this. Paul says, preach the word. I use New King James Version. I have an exclamation point at the end of word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. I don't read any breaks. Don't get a choice when you get to pick and choose to share the word with somebody. It's all about seeking opportunities. Are we doing these things in our community with urgency? Or are we complacent? Hopefully, the community sees us as being urgent, that we're trying to share the message. As we understand Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, because we all have an end date. All of our friends, all of our family, people in our community, and we can make sure that they understand what the gospel means, what it says, before that time comes for them and for us. Does our family here in South Green Street in Glasgow, Barron County, do we evangelize our community? If you look at preaching, Mark chapter 16, beginning verse 15 through 16. We understand the Great Commission. This morning in class, we began in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We understand what our mission statement is. We understand that we're supposed to go to every corner of the world if possible. And even in our own small area, I once heard it said to bloom where you're planted. You know, you don't have to get on a plane and go for 1,000 miles. You can share the gospel with people you work with on your street. I live way out in the county. I've got lots of people that we try to reach. We door knock, we evangelize. Everyone is to be preached to. No stone is left unturned. I talked about Glasgow, Barron County. In our community, we have 500 square miles. We have 12 square miles of water in Barron County. We have 42,173 residents. I found out here recently that we also have 22,268 registered voters. We have lots of people that we can share the gospel with. We have six counties that touch our county, that touch Barron County. Are we reaching out past those borders? Are we finding out what the needs are of those communities and how we can be a benefit to them from a spiritual standpoint, from a physical standpoint? Turn to Acts chapter 5. Beginning, I'd like to start in verse 42 and hop back up to verse 41. If you go to Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Every day, as the example that's been laid out before us, we see that teaching takes place every day. Opportunities to reach outside our borders, reach outside these walls takes place. Are we seeking opportunities to teach our young people through the education program here? I talked about that in class this morning. It's going to be time to start asking people to work, to serve in the new quarter. Yes, it's a lot of work, but anything worth having is a lot of work. We all understand that. What about teaching outside of these walls? It's a command from Scripture. We read about it in Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Acts chapter 5, verse 41, if you go back up, reminds us that the apostles left rejoicing as being considered worthy to suffer for their witness in Jesus' name, which they boldly resumed despite the Sanhedrin's threat. They were suffering. Suffering takes a lot of different forms. How often do we suffer? We're fortunate to live in a part of the world that maybe we really don't understand what true persecution is. Our suffering may take the form of being asked to serve in a way that maybe inconveniences us because our schedule doesn't fit. Maybe we're being asked to serve in a way that maybe forces us to step out of our comfort zone. But yet, we must find ways to rearrange our schedule so that the work of the church comes first. Maybe we don't feel comfortable in maybe teaching or assisting. Or in my case, song leading, but I'm motivated to lead singing if somebody give me the opportunity. I say that lightheartedly. But the opportunity is to seek those opportunities for growth, to share our talents. We all have talents. But yet, that's sometimes our form of suffering. is maybe we just really just maybe say we don't have time. I don't feel comfortable doing that. But yet, we must find ways to work around that. What about in our community? What do we know? Brother Ben, I go back to his prayer. What about worship? How does Glasgow-Berry County view us as from a worship standpoint? Does our community know these three things? Does our community know that God is the object of our worship? Not man, not a group of people, not a select few, but God is the object of our worship. Turn to Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14. True worship is void of the world, void of the man. I remember when Reed was here a few weeks ago, I can still see him standing up here. He talked about when we pray, when we worship God, I can still see him pushing his arms out. He says, we push everything to the side. We push the world away. And we focus on our Father, our Creator, and the one that we're to worship. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Does our community know that about us? When it comes to worship, that our worship is rooted in Scripture, our activities are centered around God, that we strive to be scripturally correct to the best of our ability in every way that we know how and every way that we can. Thirdly, worship is based on a pattern of truth. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. We'll read verses 16 and 17. The truth is what directs us. We talked about being an effective Christian this morning, that we are taught through the Word. Well, that is our guide. Not man-made religion, not opinions, hints, guesses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and Father through him. Our worship is something that obviously is select. It's not with arrogance, but it's with commitment. What about daily living? What about the 500 square miles that I mentioned? That's contained within the borders of our little county. Do people understand what our daily living is? If you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, or 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it may seem a little redundant or a cliche maybe, but really, what does our community see when they see us as a group or when they see us as individuals? I'm not perfect. I have my own set of struggles and challenges, just as we all do. But yet, we have to remember that people really are watching us. People are wanting to know how they can tell a lot about how we behave. I've shared before that when I was a teenager and I worked at Houches, I can remember, like most young teenagers, I struggled with maturity at times, a lot of times. And I can remember there was a lady that I was bagging her groceries, and I was really trying hard to impress her. I failed because one of my buddies said something funny. She stopped writing her check and looked at me. She said, you can tell a lot about somebody by what they laugh at. And I went from being fairly tall to really small really quickly. I needed to be put in my place. I did. I needed it. She was watching me. And she corrected me in a very good way. But people are watching us. People are watching us as Christians. People want to know the thing. What are we laughing at? What's the music we're listening to? Who are some of the people we hang out with? What are some of the places we go? What are some things we do when we get there? We understand that we want to be different. Being different is good. That we try to tell or teach our own kids that it's okay to be the minority in number. It's okay not to go along with the crowd. That's fine. As long as you're doing what God wants you to do, what we expect out of you, we need to be different from the world. I had the opportunity several years ago to fill in for a preacher in a little rural congregation, and I'm always striving to learn more from other people. And I asked him, I said, what's one of the biggest challenges that the church faces today? I asked that of a very mature, seasoned Christian, and he didn't have to think about it. He said, the problem with us is the world can't tell the church from the world. That was his very to-the-point response. And he's right. Sometimes we might struggle with that. But our daily living is important. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. As Paul directs the Thessalonians, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. We have lots of goals as a Christian. I hope that we're not one-dimensional. One of the goals we have is we're trying to reach those outside of these walls, in our workplace, and maybe where we're going to school. If you're out of high school, maybe where you attend school for higher education. Maybe where you spend a lot of time, even with our own families. Sometimes I have my own family. I'm the only, really don't have any Christians on my side of the family. I'm still trying to win them to this day. Does our community know? Do they understand that we're trying to win them, to bring them to Christ? Are they aware of our intentions? What about assistance outside these walls? What about in Glasgow, Bering County? Does our family help others? Turn to Galatians chapter 6, beginning verse 10. Do good unto all men. Are we helping those who are in need when we see the opportunity? Do we share the physical? We sometimes focus a lot on the physical blessings, which we should help people have basic needs that are met. But also, do we share the spiritual blessings that we have? We have a tremendous amount of spiritual blessings. I know just your house may be like mine, that I'm not out of breath having to look for a Bible. But there's one that seems like pretty close by. But lots of folks, even in our community, don't own a Bible. We've had the opportunity for almost a year to teach Bible classes on Saturday morning at the local jail. And one of the things that our elders have supported is any inmate who wants a Bible with their name on them, they get one. And people are the inmates are very, very thankful for that. And we're trying to share spiritual blessings with those who are in need of those spiritual blessings. What about James chapter 1, verse 27? When it comes to, it talks about orphans and widows, but do we have an interest in others who may not have the means to care for themselves? We should always be focused on those who need us the most. We should be focused on everybody, but there are lots of folks who have a greater need than others, and it's up to us as a congregation to recognize that. What about deacons to meet needs? We're blessed. We have 16 deacons here that work really hard, both in this congregation and without, outside this building. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, you're welcome to turn there. But the point is that the work became so much that there was more help that needed to be enlisted. I see that here. I shared earlier about the unemployment rate in the church. I don't know what that is, but I know that there's a lot of work to be done. A preacher that I respect very much once told me there never should be any unemployed Christians. There never should be any unemployed deacons. There's lots of work to be accomplished, lots of things to be done. Does our family help others? Are we like a Samaritan? Turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 37. I talked about those 42,173 people. That's changed a little bit, because that was based on the 2010 census. So that's probably gone up a little bit. Who is our neighbor? Well, we have 500 square miles worth. We have 12 square miles of waterways in our community. Who is our neighbor? Does our community see us showing mercy? Do they see us demonstrating good, supported by action? Do they see us trying to help with physical blessings? our physical needs and spiritual needs that go hand in hand. Our community should see us helping anyone who needs help, to the point that us, as our congregation, that everybody's our neighbor, that we're trying to help everybody from a standpoint that wants help and will allow us to help them. As I near the close, kind of go back to where we started. Christians are to make an impact. Our impact in the world should never stop, should never cease, regardless if you're in Kentucky, out of Kentucky, in Glasgow, in Barron County, it doesn't matter. Is your faith to the point that if we're no longer here, would you be missed? Thank goodness, as you see the picture of our congregation, this is our building. Are we making an impact as a congregation? Are you making an impact individually as a Christian? Is your family, your own family, making an impact within the church, within the kingdom? Of course, we know that you can only answer that for yourself. I can't answer that. Nobody can answer that but you. The opportunity is here. I reference Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. We all have an end date. We know that. We all know that there's a deadline to meet. But one of the positives that we have, the opportunity is now. The opportunity is present. If you've never become a Christian, but you want to be part, you want to have your first day on the job as a Christian, you want to begin working, serving, making an impact, you can do that just in a few minutes. Or maybe you once were pretty active. Maybe you were faithful. Maybe you were making an impact. And you can answer that question with confidence that, yeah, if I wasn't here, I would be missed. But, yeah, some things have changed. But you want to start again. You can do that as we stand and sing. And I hope that we can answer the question as a group that if this building were no longer here, that Glasgow and Barron County would miss this congregation. Please stand and sing.
All.